Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Life is a tune.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Welcome to another very exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with this economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeFay, and today's date is December 13th, 2017. And for those who listen to our show on a regular basis, you know the slogan for our show is, if there's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Well, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. We don't have a guest on board scheduled for the day, but we have that needs to be discussed here in the DMV market area. And the topic of our show today is Pepco Exelon merger. Millions in benefits promised DMV customers. Where is the money? Now, I had the opportunity today, and before I get into that, you know, we always have to do some primary things here, which is called pay the bills. And this show is sponsored by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities. To utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives and programs for unemployed and unemployed young African-American men and women. This show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information about that by logging on to our website. And those who listen to us on a regular basis, you know that web address is www.positivechangepc.com. Once again, that web address is www.positivechangepc.com, and you can look on under our GoFundMe link, and it will provide information on the BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative. And we sincerely and urgently need your support to raise the necessary funding to pay for syndicating this show on a radio network which is near you. And we won't talk about that at this time in terms of, well, we have not made any confirmations to make any announcements with any radio network affiliations, but we're working on that as we speak today. Now, this show is also brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And for further contact information, you can contact ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com, and that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Bethay. As we indicated at the beginning of the show, that we have a very, very exciting topic that we'll be discussing with our listening audience, even though we are broadcasting live over the airways of Blog Talk Radio from here from your nation's capital, and we're streaming live via Facebook, Twitter, and Link, and you can listen to us over your iPhones, smartphones, and Android devices. We hope that we're going to bring you some news that you can use. Now, as we were speaking, we were talking about the merger that took place last spring, and I'm going to cover two different articles that were published. One came out in the, which is a newsletter put out by Petco in the spring of 2016, Petco Holdings and Exelon complete merger of millions in merger benefits to be delivered to customers and communities in Maryland. Now, the other article went on to speak to the fact that D.C. politics regulators give green light to Pepco Exelon merger, creating the largest utility in the nation. Now, first I'm going to cover what these commitments were from Maryland. Then we'll go to the district. I want to save the district last because I had the privilege of testifying in front of Councilwoman Mary Shea earlier this morning, talking about the Department of Energy's and Environment's Solar for All program, which is, in fact, a very, very needed program, and it should serve as a national model, which I testified to that fact today. But there are some very, very, what I feel, serious flaws in that program that needs to be tweeted, and things need more community engagement for our community, the African American community. And that seemed not to resonate with her, even though I gave her some statistical data that clearly shows the great discrepancies as it relates to employment numbers, as it relates to African Americans in the business of solar. But this March 23rd, 2016 article, as I indicated earlier, Pepco Holdings and Exelon completed the merger, millions of dollars in merger benefits to be delivered to customers and communities. On March 23rd, Pepco Holdings, parent company of Pepco, completed its merger with Exelon Corporation, making it a member of the Exelon family of companies. Now that the merger is approved, you can look forward to several benefits to support both the customer and the communities we serve. Now, this comes directly from Cutco's newsletter called Live. And we were scheduled to host one of the senior executives and vice presidents and chief strategy officers, Mr. William A. Von Hardy Jr. I was contacted by Mr. Marcus Beal from Pepco's corporate communications offices in downtown Washington, D.C., and they wanted to know what questions that I was going to pose to Mr. Van Hardy. The question is very simple. Where is the money? These are the commitments. Customers' benefits as part of the merger included the following: an immediate bill credit of $50 for all residential customers in Maryland, followed by a second $50 credit 12 months later, and fewer and shorter power outages for Pepco customers, and significant financial penalties to Exelon and Pepco if we do not meet our high reliability goals. Now, who's going to find them? I guess that was something that was worked out by the People's Council in the district and the Public Service Commission in the district in Maryland. I guess the Maryland Public Service Commission was addressed that issue about what type of fines would be levied. But to close and continue on the benefits, at a $31.5 million for energy efficiency programs, including 20% for low-income customers, in addition to direct customer benefits, we have made commitments to our communities, including a $1.2 million to Prince George's County and $1.7 million to Montgomery County for workforce development. $14.4 million to establish a green energy fund to stimulate investment in sustainable solutions. It did not indicate whether that was for both counties or the entire state. So I'm assuming they made this commitment to Prince George's County as well as Montgomery County. It did not indicate that. $15 million worth of loans for development for renewable energy in Montgomery County, and pilot microgrid projects in Montgomery County and Prince George's counties, and commitments to make good faith efforts to hire at least 110 union workers in Maryland in the first 2 years after the merger closes, and a guaranteed $6.5 million in contributions over the 10 years to nonprofits that serve Maryland's most vulnerable communities. It went on to say, we're looking forward to continuing to deliver safe, reliable electricity services to you. For more information about our merger, visit phitomorrow.com. That's capital P-I, capital T, small O-M-O-R-R-O-W.com. phitomorrow. Now, this is what the commitments that were made for Prince George's County and Montgomery County. Now, when we look at the district, it was even a larger commitment made. This was particular article was done by Thomas Heath and Aaron Davis. This article was done on March 23rd, 2016. District regulators approved a $6.8 billion merger between Pepco Holdings and Exelon on Wednesday. creating the largest public health utility in the country. The decision marked a surprising turnaround of events for the deal, which D.C. regulators had rejected twice, which appeared to be on life support in recent weeks as D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, Democrat, and other city leaders lined up in opposition. So you can see who was for and who was against the merger. Of course, the mayor was for the merger. That's very, very clear. The merger means that PopCo will be absorbed by a company with the largest number of nuclear reactors in the country and widespread operations through the Mid-Atlantic, Midwest, and New England. The sale affects about 2 million Mid-Atlantic electric customers who are served by PepCo Holdings, including more than 815,000 ratepayers. Listen to this number, 815,000. That's 815,000 rate holders, ratepayers in the district and Prince George's and Montgomery counties alone. And it is widely expected that those customers will see higher electrical rates, possibly as soon as this summer. As has happened in Baltimore and other cities, Exelon acquired energy distributors. PepCo has not sought annual rate increases since 2014. When Exelon first opposed its takeover of PepCo, despite having made capital improvements, the proposal has made closely watched by environmentalists, utility and public service lawyers, and financial analysts across the country, because as its size, the deal is likely to change the national utility landscape. Now, I hope that our people are listening to this. We're talking about the District of Columbia merger was worth $6.8 billion. Of course, that money comes out of our pocket, so it really doesn't make any difference one way or another. We are in the paying for this, okay? It also is seen as a test of strength for the business community in Washington, which lobbied hard for the merger and wants to promote the nation's capital as a business-friendly environment. In voting 2-1 to approve the deal, the D.C. Public Service Commission, the D.C. Service Public Commission, said it was in the public's interest, nothing that the utilities would do is to deposit. They said it was in your best interest now, the Public Service Commission of D.C., to deposit $72.8 million in a customer investment fund. Now, I don't have the telephone number for the Public Service Commission right over the top of my head, but it's not very, very hard for you to Google that in your phone, and you need to be making some phone calls and burning up the Public Service Commission lines. I've had the privilege of having the chairwoman, Miss Betty Ann Kane, on my show, this show that you are listening to, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And we talked about this issue of the lack of facility in the district, which simply means the District of Columbia has what we call some of the highest RPSs, renewable portfolio standards, which simply means for our listening audience that PepCo has to buy a certain percentage of their energy from renewable sources. Once again, that renewable source could either be biomass, hydrogenetics. This is not, they're not getting ready to bump the dam, the Anacostia River, so that was out. Wind turbine, this is not Kansas. And so, well, as you would, if you go through the process of elimination, you know it would, has been the solar which has experienced the most growth inside of the District of Columbia. Now, as I indicated, the Public Service Commission in the District of Columbia, I was able to confirm that they have received this $72.8 million, which Pepco indicated that they would, in fact, provide to district, but it's supposed to be a customer investment fund, set aside another $11.25 million for energy efficiency and conservation programs targeted toward low-income residents. Well, let me repeat myself. $11.25 million for energy efficiency and conservation programs. Well, our listening audience, the African-American community that is listening to the airways of this show, solely now in the future, you need to be calling the Department of Energy and Environment and finding out who have received grants. And we have this information on our website to assist you if you meet the income requirements at, under the low and moderate income medians in the district. And I would suspect that the same families with income medians of 80% of the area median income, which is which is referred to as area median income, AMI, will qualify for the program. A household of four, $75,050. Household of three, $67,550. Household of two, $60,050. Household of one, $52,550. This is the formula that has been put forth through the Department of Energy and Environment and the DC Council that spells out those who would qualify for this energy efficiency conservation programs. And this money will help with weatherization, I would assume, in other areas. So without me having all of the specific details of what you would be able to secure from this program, I strongly suggest that you log on to www.doee.dc.gov. Once again, that website for the DC Department of Energy and Environment is www.doee.dc.gov. And you can get the number there and you can call and find out what conservation programs, what does it entail, what benefits that you can be derived from this program to assist you, and who are the contractors, whether it might be through the Office of DC Sustainability or DOE, that they contracted out to do this work. Our people need to get on board and benefit from these programs, because there is a dirty little secret. It's called the Renewable Energy Development Fund. Now, this particular fund comes directly out of your pockets. This money is collected every time you pay a electric bill, a water bill, or a gas bill in the District of Columbia, because they are all utilities. And you pay a fee that goes into this fund. Now, after the $11.25 million for the energy conservation programs for low and moderate income residents, they also said that they would carve out another $21.55 million for pilot projects such as modernization of the electric grid and distribution. These benefits, among others, should be not available to D.C. ratepayers if the merger is not approved, the commission said in a statement. But under the terms approved by the commission, millions of dollars that Bowser, listen very carefully, that Mayor Bowser has wanted to cushion residential customers from rate increases until 2019 credits for businesses or the federal government. I'm pretty damn sure that the businesses and the federal government are doing better than low and moderate income working class folks in the District of Columbia. I feel strongly that these benefits should go to a large percentage of that should go to the African American community. Neither Pepco nor Exelon claimed victory after the vote, in part because stakeholders can seek a stay on the order's implementation. The utilities wasted no time in completing the merger, announcing that late on Wednesday afternoon. This was March 23rd, 2016. Today's date, if I'm not mistaken, is December 13th, 2017. Now, it's been over a year. Okay? It's been over a year since this merger has taken place. And as I indicated to you today, there has been so much movement. I'm going to share with you some information here that deals with the Public Service Commission needs to move the proceedings forward and allow D.C. resident ratepayers to benefit from a democratic, low-cost, reliable, and renewable energy system. Submit your public opinion. Now, this was put out by Solar United Neighborhoods, and I had the opportunity to attend on Monday night of this week a program which was entitled Join the 51st State Solar Co-op, where vendors, which is a neutral nonprofit organization, our experts to help through outreach to step-by-step process to ensure that you get the right equipment for your home, for the installation, and strong warranty. Co-ops leverage the power of bulk purchasing to help you save money. This is a program that is part of the Solar for All program. It is offered through the Solar United Neighborhoods Organization. But before I get into any more depth about the particular program that they have, I want you to make our listening audience aware that you need to log on to www.positivechangepc.com, that's www.positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, and there you will find fiscal year 2017-18 solar for all innovation and expansion grant projects. And this is a list, the awardees. The Department of Energy had an RFA that went out in February of 2017, and Grid Alternatives Mid-Atlantic received the first $950,000 grant. That grant was to assist and target in wards 5, 7, and 8 to assist 100 low and moderate income residents get solar systems installed on their homes free of charge and to train 75 DC residents how to become solar installation or PV installation installers, which is a very, I feel, honorable and potential growth employment career. And as I said, didn't say job, I said a career, because they urgently need more African Americans to be training our young people to go into this workforce area. Now, the following organizations receive grants. The Community Power Network, which I'm reading from their information right now. DC Sun is a project of Community Power Networks. They received a $2 million grant. Let me repeat myself. They received a $2 million grant. This grant will fund.
They've got a lot of windows.
Will fund, in fact,
and they want to keep
this.
The Pharmacy Benefit Managers
program will be funded for programs in the low and moderate income communities. Now, we looked at this program, and I would be redundant had I not have been on the soapbox in trying to get this information out to our listening audience. I apologize to our listening audience. You can join us by calling in at 646-668-2948. That calling number is 646-668-2948. And we're going to attempt to take a short break here on our show because we're like midway in the top of the hour and we need to see.
Here's a song worth singing.
I can too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And just before that break there, and we were talking about the recent grants that have been awarded to grantees. Now, as I was indicating right before we took that break, we're talking about a program through DC Sun. They received a $2 million grant. This grant will fund the CPN low-income solar co-op program, which will bring low-income residents together in a group or solar co-op to provide more affordable bulk procurements of solar installations. CPN will pay for the full installation of panels on the homes of low-income residents. Low-income homeowners will receive all the associated financial benefits of solar at no cost. The CPN plans to install 750 kilowatts, serving up to 231 households. Now, as I spoke to you earlier, program, I shared with you the fact that you would have to be able to meet those income requirements to qualify for this particular program. Solar All Program for DC New Solar Energy Initiative. District goal is to reduce the energy bills of at least 100,000 low-income residents households by year, 50% by year 2032. Families with incomes up to 80% of the area median income, AMI, will qualify for the program. Once again, those income household limitations, eligibility requirements, well, rather, for a full household of four, $75,050. Household of three, $67,550. Household of two, $60,050. Household of one, $52,550. Now, this specific solar for all project is open only to single-family households or row homes or townhouses. For further information for these opportunities, please go to, you ready for this web address? doee.dc.gov/solar for all. Once again, go to doee.dc.gov/solar for all. It is very, very, very important and critical that our people understand the role that they must play in Washington, D.C., in this renewable energy revolution. And that's what it is, because it's going to change the way people live and do things in the district. Whether the African community, American community, participates in their community or not. And I'm speaking and bringing this point out because last night I went to the Arc on Mississippi Avenue. And I know that you have folks who don't look like me, white folks who live in Southeast Washington, D.C. Some have lived in Southeast all their lives as residents. But when you get to talking about Southern and Mississippi Avenue Southeast, I know that that was one of the largest and dense populated areas of the African, for our African American community in Washington, D.C. It was actually a travesty when I got there and went into that large auditorium and looked and saw the small amount of participation from our community. But I don't blame our community for that, because you can't just say I'm going to hold an event at the Arc and put it up on your website at DOEE, where the average African American in Washington, D.C. don't even know what the DOEE stands for, the Department of Energy and Environment, for the District of Columbia Environment. I've had this conversation with the director, Tommy Wells, who I had the privilege of speaking with this morning, because I testified in front of the D.C. Councilwoman Mary Shea on the need for the things to more funding to be put into this Song for All program from the monies that have been placed with the Public Service Commission. They're setting on over $100 million. Let me repeat myself. They're setting on over $100 million. We need this Song for All program to be put on steroids, but we also need to make sure that our people understand, if you want to go with an organization, you want to look at an organization that's talking about giving you the ability to be able to select who the installation company is. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, we were founded to try to increase market share for African-American solar installation companies doing business in the U.S. of A. And the last time I checked, this was the United States of America, and this is the nation's capital. We only have, out of 9,000 companies, almost 10,000 companies, 10, not 100, 10, 10 out of 9,000. That is horrendous. In an industry, can American dopes, like they came out last night in Alabama and voted Roy Moore to keep an individual who we know is a racist and a pedophile from coming to Congress as a senator representing the state of Alabama. But we voted in 2008, and we voted in 2012, and we gave Barack Obama, the first African-American president, an opportunity to serve two full terms. Now, solar is not new. This industry has been around for over 43 years. And the solar, the group who represents the trade association, the Solar Industry Trade Association, SIA, I have tried numerous times to get Mrs. Abigail Harper to come on my show to talk about the issue of the lack of diversity. But I'm not going to get away from talking about this money, but it's important that you understand where this came from, okay? Our political capital and our voting power put Obama in place. He put this program in place through a program called the Sunshine Identity Program, which was the largest thing that Barack Obama did. You don't have to take my word for it. You can log on to the website at positivechangepc.com and scroll down and click on the video link called the Sunshine Identity Initiative. And you can listen to Barack Obama in his own words talk about the ambitious goals that his administration reached was to get solar down under 5 cents a kilowatt hour. Those goals were reached while he was still president. Well, we fast forward this thing, and we come back and we look at a group like Groundswell, who received, the organization is called Groundswell. They received $1,216,590 in the grant that's worth. This grant will fund Groundswell installation of solar panels on six houses of worship in wards 4, 7, and 8. So the churches, the ministers that heard about it, so they went and got some money for themselves. I don't know if they talked to the congregation about social oral program, but they certainly cut their deal, okay? Which will result in free 22-year community service subscriptions for low-income households. Groundswell will provide at local employment and apprenticeship opportunities and summer job skill training. Groundswell plans to install 366 kilowatts, serving up to 122 households. Well, guess what? I mentioned the fact that you have 10 African-American solar companies. You have 4 of them that are registered with the Department of Energy and Environment in Washington, D.C. And those companies are the following: Gold Energy, which is headed by Mr. Gilbert Campbell. You also have WDC Solar, which is headed by Mr. Mark Davis. And you have Alternative Renewable Solutions, LLC, headed by Mr. Damian Strong. These are African-American owned solar companies, as well as Daryl Green, who is a Hall of Famer, who used to play for the Washington Burgundy and Gold, also has a construction company, and they're located, have offices located on Naval Road Southeast. They also do solar installations in our communities. These are the companies that you need to be, when you contact these companies and tell them that you're interested in participating in these programs, you want to know if you can help select the solar installation company. And you should choose a company that's willing to bring and give that contract or that work to one of these 4 African-American-owned companies. We got to get serious, black folks. We got to get real serious on demanding that some of this funding from these grantees, this work, get done by African-American solar installation companies, because they will hire our young people. They will hire our people. I don't have to be jumping up and down. Mr. Mark Davis, his company is located right over by Red William Wilson's church over there by the big chair. And if you're from D.C., you know where the big chair is. Over there on MLK. It ain't new. It's been there a long, long, long time. It's a historic site. This man's been doing magnificent work over there. He has also written a workforce development training program, and he has had certified for Job Corps. So these are companies that have already demonstrated their commitment in our communities. I know for a fact Mr. Gilbert Campbell's Gold Energy has been hosting educational seminars in our public schools here in D.C., working with our churches, helping those folks who go to these churches learn how to read a utility bill. You get a bill, and for half of our people don't understand what they're looking at. They just look at what they got to pay, but they don't understand how they're being charged. So this is another group. I know Mr. Damian Strong personally, and I know he lives in Southeast Washington, D.C., and I know his commitment because he has applied for a grant to try to start a manufacturing plant to train returning citizens in Ward 8 how to manufacture solar panels, and he needs a site. So I'm very aware of what these gentlemen are doing in our community. We need to insist that these grantees who are getting this funding utilize one of our African-American solar installation companies to do this work. They got the money. Now, let me continue on, and let me sort of, because I know I went up a couple of decimals, but to me, that's the bottom line. New Partners Community Solar Co-op, formed by the Nixon Peabody Group, which is a real estate development law firm in Washington, D.C., Commercial Real Estate Development Corporation. They got a $2 million grant. They don't install no panels. Okay? But they got the money. The grant will fund New Partners Community Solar Installation for solar panels on a 15 to 25 commercial, nonprofit, and apartment rooftops, resulting in free 25-year community solar subscriptions for low-income residents. So they're dealing with apartment buildings, and they're dealing with commercial and nonprofit organizations. So if you are an African-American organization and you are 501c3 in the District of Columbia and you are interested in trying to get a solar system to reduce your overhead where you are operating, you need to be calling New Partners Community Solar Group and insisting on them that they use one of the African-American solar installation companies that's doing business in the district. We only have 10 doing business in the entire United States. Now, New Partners Community Solar Group plans to install 1 megawatt, serving at least 325 homes. Okay? As I said, they got $2 million grant of your taxpayers' dollars, okay? Urban Energy Advisors, the Urban Ingenuity is partnership with NHT Enterprises. They just received a $1,517,655 grant from the Department of Energy and Environment. Okay, this grant will fund Urban Energy Advisors' installation of solar systems for affordable multifamily buildings. Urban Energy Advisors plan to install 1 megawatt, serving up to 402 households. Okay, you need to be calling them, Googling them, getting the information. You can go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on news and events, and the first article on the news and events will provide this information that I'm providing to you right now over the airways of solar now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. Peer Consultants, P-E-R-R Consultants, PC, receive $1,250,000. This grant will fund Peer Consultants' installation of solar panels on affordable multi-family buildings, resulting in free 15-year community solar subscriptions for low-income households. The grant guarantee will also educate building owners on how their rooftops can be used for solar generation and environmental measures, including water, stormwater retention and methods of reducing urban heat land effects. Peer Consultant plans to install 500 kilowatts serving 100 low-income households. Neighborhood Solar Equity, LLC, between Community Renewable Energy Roots, Branch, and Kelly Electric, they received a $1,177,506 grant, which will fund Neighborhood Solar LLC's installation of solar systems and several buildings at a local university. Electricity will be provided to the university. Solar renewable credits, renewable for the project, will be low-income residents for 15 years. Now, I didn't name the university. I wonder if it's the University of the District of Columbia. Because it seems like to me, since they got the grant, they need to be calling Bold Energy, WDC Solar, or Alternative Solutions, Mr. Strawn's company, and talking to them about actually doing the work. I don't think these people do installation. I think that they applied and got the award. Open market ESCO LLC, the Energy Service Division of Wind Companies, received wind companies, WINN companies, received $1,347,737 grant. Will fund open market installation of solar panels for four roofs for Atlantic Terrace, a 195-unit affordable multifamily property in Ward 8, resulting in free 15-year community solar subscription for low-end residents. Guaranteed will also provide education for low-income residents regarding the benefit of solar. This building is located on Mississippi Avenue. It's that huge new building there near the Ark. That's exactly where it's located. Well, I firmly believe that Mr. Mark Davis needs to be getting some of that work. Econ Strategic Consulting, LLC, received a $1,790,000 grant. Will fund Eco Strategic Consulting LLC for solar companies over surface parking lots at several affordable housing properties, installation of solar canopies over surface parking lots at several affordable housing properties. The benefits for the electric generated by the community solar project will provide the form of direct payments to low-income residents, adjacent properties, for 25 years, Eco Strategic Consulting plans to install 1 megawatt serving up to 335 household community preservation and development corporation received a $300,000 grant, which will fund installation of solar panels on rooftops of 14 multifamily properties owned by CTBC to proceed from the electric grid will reduce the operating costs of PDC. CPDC will use these cost savings investments to upgrade new amenities for resident services. Okay, now they have strategic partners in this, and community solar pilot project provided $175,000 grant to New Partners Community Solar Group. Voluntary assessment, all this information is there. And I'm down on time, and I can't read all this information. So I hope that I provided some news that you can definitely use. And you can, if you have, if you're in D.C., you can also go to D.C. Hearings. And you can hear my testimony with the other people who testified about the Solar for All program and other renewable energy legislation that was Councilwoman Shea heard this morning. We have to get in the game. We have to get in the game. Now, as we close this show, remember that this show is brought to you by Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, this show, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar companies and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF, HBCU Solar Talk Show Initiative. It's also brought to you by Skyden Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and print and publishing, speaker bureau management, and the contact information is scottoncommunicationsnetwork.com. S-C-O-T-T-O-N, communicationsnetwork.com, and your contact person there is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay. And as we close this episode of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, that we did bring you
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing,
why don't you
sing it?